Good afternoon, folks. It's very, very quiet. No response. It's okay. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Oh, well done. I like to see people interacting with me. Do keep that zine open on week seven. And you might have a nice surprise in your zine that you might have some writing in that. So read that. Or if you haven't seen any writing there, you should write in it yourself. So get a pen out. Do scribble in it, write your notes like I've done here in my zine. I didn't do that just then, by the way. I've done it for a while. But do that. And on your talkback form, actually, you might have a talkback form when you put your name on it, put your number on it, or phone number or email, and contact details of some sort, and a question. If you have a question, do write it down. I'll be around afterwards if you want to chat. I want to quickly just address last week's talk. I had some people come up to me last week in regards to a mistake I made, and it was to do with Joseph and his position in his family. And I said that he was one of the eldest in his family, which is not true. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. He's actually one of the youngest. So he was the son of Rachel, Jacob's second wife, and he's actually the youngest, second youngest, because the youngest is Benjamin. So I thought I'd just clarify that. But Joseph was still the favourite in the family and was still the heir. So I just wanted to clarify that statement that I made. I'm very sorry about that, and I hope that helps your understanding of the Bible better. We start with the question, have you ever been in a difficult situation that was awkward? You know, I think a lot of us have, just as in that conversation just then. Here are some examples that I thought of. You know, walking in on someone in the bathroom or in the toilet. You know, I went to the toilet once, rushing in. It smelled really nice. Wow, it smells really good in here. And I realised that I walked in, there were girls in there. I'm like, oh, whoa. And then, by accident, not intentionally. So I walked straight out. Another one, interrupting a private conversation. You know, maybe you're thirsty, you need a drink. You walk into a room that's got a tap in it or whatever, a fridge. There's a girl and a guy talking on the lounge. You're like, sorry, and you walk straight out. Maybe you're going to a party or a function, and for guys, your fly is undone. Or, you know, for girls, you're wearing the same outfit as another girl at the party. Awkward. Difficult, but awkward, you know. But what if you had the opportunity to prevent this difficult situation from happening? You know, in hindsight, or thinking about those scenarios just then, you know, what would you do to prevent that from happening? You know, you're seeing someone walking towards the already occupied toilet, or you notice that the door is closed, and so, you know, you just really need to get into that room, but you want to tell them that, you know, don't go in that room. People are in there. Or you see a guy at the front of the stage with his fly undone, or you see someone someone walking in with an outfit, and you're in earshot distance. You could tell them to not come in or to not stay at the front. You know, what do we do in these difficult and awkward situations? You know, Joseph here has found himself in another difficult situation this week in Genesis 39. You know, last week in Genesis 37, you know, Joseph failed to understand his position of power and influence in his family and the fact that his brothers didn't like him. And in the way that he spoke to his brothers, they turn against him. They sell him into slavery and he's deported to Egypt. And you think that that'd be the end of Joseph's life. That's it. Full stop. No more. He'd be a slave for the rest of his days. He'd be forgotten. But this week, it seems that Joseph has risen up to a position of power and influence once again. He's in a foreign land under a foreign master, but he finds himself again in another difficult situation. So by the end of the story, in this story here, he winds up in prison. How does it happen again? Now, has Joseph learned from his failings from last time with his brothers? Does he apply the new wisdom that he gets here in this chapter? And so from today, I want to say, despite that Joseph fails in being overconfident and being proud in his difficult situation, God still allows Joseph to be a blessing to others and to prosper in his life. And so like last week, to help us understand how Joseph fails, which caused his decline, we're first going to look at who Joseph is in this passage today. And so the first thing we see about Joseph, we learn about him, is that he's a hardworking slave. You know, we pick up from last week where Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites by his brothers, and he's now living in Egypt. And then in a foreign land, and in verse 1, as you can read here on your screen, Joseph is purchased for money from the Ishmaelites by a man named Potiphar. And Potiphar is someone who's prominent in the Egyptian empire. He's the captain of the guard. He's someone who works directly for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And so Joseph is put to work under Potiphar, where Potiphar was his master and Joseph was Potiphar's slave. But we don't know exactly what that work was, okay? But whatever it was, whatever he did, Potiphar saw that, his work, and thought that was really impressive. It was so impressive that in verse 4, you could say that Joseph gets promoted, okay? He gets promoted to become Potiphar's attendant. And it says that Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his household, and he entrusted into Joseph's care everything that Potiphar owned. Joseph, a foreigner and a slave, was now in charge of all of Potiphar's personal stuff in his home. You could say that Joseph had kind of moved through the ranks, right? From being kind of a checkout person in a supermarket to now being kind of the store manager. He buys, he controls everything, the stock in the supermarket. And so like last week, when we saw Joseph working hard for his father, in his father's business of tending sheep and meeting his brothers who were hundreds of kilometres away, we see that he continues the same work ethic. But this time, we see him start from the very bottom as a slave and works his way up. Which leads on to the second thing we learn about Joseph, is that he reaches a position of power and influence in Potiphar's household. You know, Potiphar had promoted Joseph to the head of the household, of his household and his field. Which means that everything that was in Potiphar's house, as it says in verse 6, was under the care or the responsibility of Joseph. To the point where Potiphar did not even have to worry about his stuff. You know, this meant that Joseph had influence in how the house should be run, how the everyday things should be done, the cleaning, the setting out of the home, the maintenance of the outside field. And Joseph the foreigner was probably telling other Egyptian slaves, okay, what to do, how to behave in the house, what they should be doing. You know, this shows the amount of trust Potiphar had in Joseph. He trusted him with almost everything, except with the food Potiphar ate. That was the only exception. You know, it's kind of like Alfred, who is like Bruce Wayne's butler in the Batman movies. You know, has anyone seen Dark Knight, Batman movies? Yeah, all that stuff. You know, Bruce Wayne, he's a millionaire, okay? He's a squillionaire. He owns this amazing mansion, okay? All these cars, weapons, machines. You know, he even runs, you know, Alfred, he even runs the workshop in Bruce Wayne's basement while Batman's kind of fighting crime or going to parties. You know, Bruce Wayne has put everything at his mansion, in the workshop, under the care of Alfred, his butler. You know, what a position of power and influence. And Joseph now is once again in that position again, right, of power and influence, just like he was when he was the heir to his father's household, and just he was the favourite in his household of 11 other brothers. And in some ways you could say that being Potiphar's attendant was actually better than his situation in Israel. You know, that he was now someone of prominent position in someone else's house, someone more potentially wealthy, who ordered slaves around that he didn't even know. But, you know, does Joseph's rise to power only happen because Joseph worked hard as a slave? You know, after all, in verses 1 to 6 here, just notice here, 1 to 6 here, the name Joseph, the word name Joseph, appears 7 times. 7 times in 6 verses. Now, so Joseph is definitely the focus of the rising to power of Potiphar's household. But we also see the word Lord, L-O-R-D, Lord, used 5 times in these verses as well. And so unlike last week in chapter 37, the name Lord or God isn't mentioned at all. This week, we see God personally working through Joseph's life to bring him into this position of power and influence. You know, imagine if you're a slave being sold at a slave market. You know, I don't think you get a lot of say in who your master would be or who should get to purchase you or who are your top three preferred masters. I don't think you get a choice in that. You know, Joseph was a slave. And in verse 2, he prospered because the Lord was with Joseph. Not only God was with Joseph in this situation, but Joseph's godly life made him appealing as a worker to his master. Have a look with me in verse 3 in Yazin, which says, when his master saw that the Lord was with him and the Lord gave him success in everything that he did. You see, Potiphar saw that Joseph had the God of the universe on his side. You know, Joseph's life, which includes his work ethic, was an attractive feature to his master and to his employer. And so God gave him success as a slave under Potiphar, and it got him promoted. You know, the blessing continues because through Joseph's work, in verse 5, God also blessed Potiphar's household. There was a flow-on effect there. You know, we don't know exactly, again, what that blessing was on his household, but if it looks like what we see what's happening here with Joseph, then I think it's something really positive. It's something really amazing. So just like last week, God has provided the privilege, the opportunity for Joseph to be in his power of position influence as an attendant now in Potiphar's household, in a foreign household, under a foreign master. He's in the same position again. Sure, Joseph was a hard-working slave who had to start from the bottom and work his way up. But with the presence of the Lord in this part of Joseph's life, we could say that Joseph couldn't have achieved this status as of attendant without God being involved. So if Joseph, if he was a hard-working slave, a hard-working guy, was once again in a position of power and influence, how does Joseph fail? Okay, how does Joseph fail? And once again, decline to the point of being thrown into prison. And I think the main reason for his failure here is because of his overconfidence and of his pride in his job. So in the first couple of paragraphs, the first two paragraphs you see there in your zine, we're told a very positive, very inspirational Joseph moving up in the Egyptian world. Okay, he's climbing the ladder. You know, he's also even good looking. Okay, he's a handsome guy. He's pretty hot. And you're kind of waiting for when this guy's going to trip up. Surely this guy can't succeed, be always succeeding in life. You know, this guy's got to trip up somewhere. And we can say our predictions become a reality now because we read through halfway through verse 6 there, the third paragraph there, which uses the word now. You know, now. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. There's a turn. And so this young, single, successful, powerful, handsome man catches the eye of his master's wife. This woman sees Joseph just as Potiphar saw Joseph. And she also finds him appealing, but in a sexual way. So in verse 7, she says to him this very short demand, come to bed with me. Or another translation says, come lie with me. What do you do in this situation? This has become a very difficult and awkward situation for Joseph now. How does he tell his master's wife no without offending her? You know, he tells her that he wants to live with integrity by respecting his master's wishes, his master's orders, by living God's way. You know, which means not sleeping with another man's wife. So in verse 9 here, you can see Joseph, he draws a line, okay, and says that it would be a wicked thing, a sin against God, to sleep with her. He also adds that he's been given instructions, that he's been given everything in the house except his wife. And so he wants to kind of respect that. But despite this, despite him saying those things, Joseph still failed. You know, Joseph made the unwise decision by continuing to work at Potiphar's house. Because in verse 10, you see the words there in verse 10, the words day after day, Potiphar's wife continues to tempt him into having sex with her. And Joseph tries his best to decline her carefully, day after day, with these words. And he even tries to avoid being around her. You know, perhaps, you know, some other possibilities, you know, let's brainstorm some other possibilities about how he's to prevent what was about to happen. Perhaps Joseph could have talked to Potiphar, his master, about this difficult situation with his wife. But, you know, Joseph being a slave, he mightn't have felt the right to do that. You know, Joseph could have stopped working at the house. He could have stopped going there. You know, where he could have asked for a transfer or a different job. But remember, he's still a slave. Maybe Potiphar's wife could have just woken up to herself, okay, and said, hey, you're hitting on a house slave. Get over it. Or, you know, can't you take the hint? He's not interested in you. It seems like a complicated situation, doesn't it? Where Joseph's he's failed by his superiors. And this kind of leads to his failure. And so one day, like any other day at the office, Joseph goes to work at Potiphar's house, knowing that his wife is there, and that there's probably a good chance that she's going to ask him to sleep with her, because no servants were around. You know, but what was Joseph thinking? He tells you in verse 9, Joseph says this in verse 9. He says, no one is greater in the house than I am. And this tells you where Joseph fails. You know, he's overconfident in his position in Potiphar's house. He took pride in his position of power, that Potiphar would listen to everything that he would have to say, his testimony, everything that he reported to Joseph, because Potiphar liked Joseph. But, you know, he misunderstands that he doesn't actually hold the most power in this household. It was actually Potiphar's wife that holds the most power. You see, Joseph's overconfident nature, that Potiphar would side with Joseph, if something would happen between himself and Potiphar's wife would went bad, he thought that Potiphar would automatically side with him. You know, the temptation present itself day after day, but Joseph thought, it'll be fine, because Potiphar has given everything to me and to me to take care of, and I'll just talk my way out of it. You know, if things get problematic, if things get hard, I'll just talk it out. You know, are you presenting yourself day after day with temptations that will lead you to failure? You know, this kind of failure here is not just about your reputation among your friends or your family or your boss, but it's kind of the damage that can emotionally hurt others. It can distance yourself about the way you feel towards God if it happens. Now, do you think that you're confident or overconfident in controlling those moments of temptation, that you could just simply say no to them? You know, Joseph did that every day. But in verse 11, what motivated him to go into that house to attend to his duties, knowing that no one else would be there except Potiphar's wife? You know, as you get to the next life stage, like myself and my wife at the back there, and my kid, you can meet him later. You start to know people, you start to hear about people whose marriages are ending in divorce. And these people are Christians. They say that they're Christians. You know, the couple might be having a difficult marriage, difficult relationship. One spouse occasionally sees someone that's appealing to them, which goes into seeing them more occasionally, more regularly, which then turns into a relationship. You know, actually they said that it's just a friend, just a buddy from work. But soon enough, they can't say no because they haven't assessed their difficult situation that they're in. You might know somebody that looks up things or reads things on the internet that is not helpful for their relationships or for their spiritual life. You know, they're confident they can stop looking or reading at any time that they want. They think they can use the internet at any time of day or night. And that, you know, they feel that they're in control. And so, you know, once they're alone, No one is watching. They pull out their phone, pull out their laptop, convince themselves they're in control. But they don't realize that they're presenting themselves to temptation, which is a difficult situation. They're at risk of damaging their mind and their relationship with God. There may be people you know who are struggling in these difficult situations. How will you help them? How will you help them prevent them from failing? Will you call them out on it, in what they're doing, and help them? How will you remind yourself of these temptations, of these difficulties that you too could potentially have? You know, Joseph was presented this temptation, okay, and his power was tested. You know, Potiphar's wife, in the next instance, forces himself onto Joseph. And Joseph responds by running out of the house, leaving behind his cloak. You can imagine the awkwardness, the shame that was felt by Potiphar's wife, who continually made sexual advances, sexual propositions on this man. But this time it was more forceful. But, you know, the shame turns into anger and revenge. So she gets all the household servants in, gets them all in to be on her side, saying that this Hebrew here has come to make a joke of us, to make sport of us. She waits for her master, her husband, to get home to tell her version of the story on how she was mistreated by that Hebrew, Joseph. She fabricates the story. She lies. Now, Joseph doesn't even have the opportunity to explain himself to Potiphar or defend himself against the accusations. So just like what his brothers did last week, he's thrown into confinement again, into a prison. Now, Joseph's moved from Jacob's house, his father's house, onto Potiphar's house, which is this house, now into a jailhouse. And we see in verses 19 and 20, in Yezini, that you know, this power that he thought he possessed, he had, doesn't even come close to competing with Potiphar's wife's power influence in the house. Now, from the diagram here, you can see here, you know, to put it plainly, Joseph thought, who's actually the second most powerful person in the household, below Potiphar and above Potiphar's wife? But in reality, okay, Potiphar's wife was in fact the second most powerful in the household, okay, because she is the master's wife. Good husbands listen to their wives' testimony before they listen to anyone else's. For him, there's no hesitation that he should be angry with Joseph. And Joseph fails to understand the dynamic of that marriage relationship. It's more powerful than his relationship as a slave to his master. Joseph has failed again by being overconfident and proud with his power of influence. But how does God work through Joseph's failings? You know, one thing we notice in this chapter is that it begins and ends with Joseph prospering. Joseph began as a slave to an Ishmaelite, then to Potiphar, and then he prospers with God's help. And we see that after Joseph is thrown into prison, in verse 21, Joseph is appealing to the prison wardens, and they see Joseph. And so much so that he's raised into a position of power in the prison over the prisoners, in verse 22. So just like what Potiphar did, the wardens are put everything under the care and responsibility of Joseph. Another thing we notice is that Joseph was part of God's plan in blessing others who weren't Israelites. You notice in verse 5 that Joseph's position in the household, God played a very important role in that. But it had flow-on effects of God blessing the Egyptian household he was working in. And so this household who was foreign, you know, would receive benefits like the Israelites did. So for Joseph and then for Israel, who were God's chosen people, both would anticipate the arrival of Jesus, who would bless all nations with eternal hope. Now, this is God's bigger plan for the world. And if you're someone who's put their faith in Jesus, you know, you're part of this ultimate plan of God to receive the hope and the blessing that God has promised you at the time of Abraham. And we're kind of seeing that a little bit here in this story. So with this in mind, if you have this hope or blessing from God, how can your life be a blessing to others despite yourself finding yourself in difficult situations? Because if we know how amazing God is at preserving people, providing for people, blessing people, that God ultimately wants everyone to know who he is, you know, how can we humble ourselves so that God can work in our lives to bless others? We've just explored Joseph's rising to a position of power of influence in a foreign household under a foreign master. And from today, despite Joseph failing in being overconfident or proud in his difficult situation, God still allows Joseph to be a blessing to others and to prosper in his life. Now, Joseph's failure to understand that it was actually Potiphar's wife who had the most power and influence in the house caused him to be thrown into prison. You know, his influence did not mean anything in the eyes of Potiphar because his wife's testimony came first. But what's worse was the situation that Joseph kind of subjected himself to day after day, Potiphar's wife propositioning him every day, tempting him to have sex with her. You know, he thought he was strong enough. He thought he was confident, controlling enough to stand up to that, to her and to anything that would happen. He could talk it out with Potiphar. But if Joseph went ahead with the woman's request, the consequences would be damaging. It'd destroy the trust of his master. It'd potentially destroy their marriage relationship. You know, he'd be damaging his own integrity, particularly as someone who lives for God. You know, what are the situations in your life that compromise your integrity in your relationship with God? You know, which shows in the way that you live out your life. You know, are you feeling overconfident in your study ethic? You know, by leaving things to the last minute, that you're tempted to copy other people's work. You know, how does your study ethic represent God? Are you involving yourself in discussions about people who are gossiping or saying things about people that are untrue, whether it be in person or on the internet? Has what you say honour God? You know, do you think you can be fully in control of what you read about or view on the internet, either on your phone or laptop, at various times in the day, particularly when you're alone? How does what you view or absorb honour God? You know, if we expose ourselves to being tempted in these situations and don't assess how it could potentially fail us to live God's way, the consequences can damage our relationships and we can push God away. But despite Joseph failing to properly assess his difficult situation, God still stands by Joseph and works through him. Because by the end of the story, Joseph was thrown into prison only to rise up again to another position of power and influence. You know, God can amazingly work in your difficult situation right now to bring about his plans for your life, as he blesses three people through those who trust in Jesus. So despite Joseph failing in being overconfident and proud in his difficult situation, God still allows Joseph to be a blessing to others and to prosper in his life.